October has for years been designated by the Catholic bishops in America as Respect Life Month. So, as I have for the last 22 years, this month, particularly today, I will preach on the topic of respecting life, specifically on the evil of abortion. But I got to tell you, part of me wonders, why bother? What good does it do? After all these years of thousands of priests and bishops and even popes proclaiming the gospel of life, so many Catholics still don't understand that abortion is destroying not only the lives of millions of unborn babies and their mothers, but also mankind's fundamental respect for all aspects of human life. Sometimes I feel a bit like those servants we read about in today's gospel. He sent his servants to the tenants, but one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. And again he sent other servants, and they treated them the same way. Now, it's very true. No one has stoned me, or killed me, or any other priest that I know of for preaching pro-life. It's true. But they've done worse. They don't listen. And they continue to support or to vote for those who do support the killing of the most innocent human beings in abortion. Why don't Catholics get this? The last few years, one particular reason seems to stand out. It seems that sometimes we allow the term pro-life or respect life to have a mixed or ambiguous meaning that winds up confusing Catholics regarding the fundamental issues and priorities that are involved. So let's clarify, what does it mean to respect life? Now, as Christians, we're all called to respect the life of all human beings because each one of us is created in the image of God and shares a unique dignity and life given to us by God Himself. But it doesn't take a Christian or even a religious person to see this. Every rational human being should understand that the life of every human being demands respect. But how far do the demands of that respect go? Does respect for human life demand that, for example, if someone attacks me, I can't defend myself? Even if they're trying to kill me, I can't fight back out of respect for their life? What if they're trying to kill my children? Can I do something to stop them? Can I hurt them even? Or is that not respecting life? Does it mean that countries can't go to war for a grave reason, even if they're attacked or fight to liberate the oppressed? Does it mean that we can never punish a criminal or deny immigration to an alien? Going even further, does it mean that you can't provide for your family or yourself before you provide for a stranger? Respect is a big word, and respect for human life is very demanding. But there are limitations and there are priorities in that respect. Common sense and the church teach us that there is a certain hierarchy, if you will, and an order in human life, and so in the ways of respect. For example, we place duty to family ahead of duty to strangers. We do that naturally, and we do that in the teaching of the church. We respect individual responsibility and free will, and we recognize that some human choices don't deserve respect because they're contrary to human dignity. Now, it can be very confusing to figure out all the various duties and demands of respecting human life. But to begin to do this, we need to keep in mind the fundamentals, the most basic and important principles that set the priority and order of everything that follows. So what is the most fundamental demand of respecting human life? It's not hard to figure out on our own, again, but again, God helps us by giving us a commandment. Thou shalt not kill. If we look carefully at Scripture, we discover that this has a precise but very basic common sense meaning. It means that one can never intentionally and directly kill an innocent human being. Notice those three key terms: intentionally, directly, and innocent. This is the most fundamental principle of respecting human life. And so it is absolute and without exception. You shall not kill intentionally innocent human life. And as we sort of move away from situations where this fundamental principle directly applies, we see that all the other demands of respecting life come from it and relate back to it, even as they become much more subtle and allow for different non-absolute responses. So, for example, the first step away might be the case of self-defense. If someone's trying to kill you, he is by definition not innocent. So the principle in its most absolute form does not apply. You still have to respect the person's life, but not at the cost of your own innocent life. You can fight back, and you can even take his life to save yours. Or take another step. You're driving at a normal speed and suddenly someone rushes into the road and you hit them. Of course, respect for human life requires that you try not to hit them. You swerve if you can. But if it's unavoidable, if you unintentionally hit him, you have not failed to respect his life. Walk way down that road now. Get further away from the absolute. Say a man comes to you demanding money for food, but you know that he's healthy and employable. He's just lazy and doesn't want to work. If you refuse his request for help, do you fail to respect his human life? He is not innocent, and you do not intend for him to starve to death. So respect for his life does not require you to help him. In fact, you could reasonably argue that respect for his life would require you to scold him, to tell him to have more respect for himself and his own life. Go get a job. And St. Paul tells us elsewhere, if anyone should not work, let him not eat. The point is, we begin with the fundamental rule, and all the others fall in order after. And that orders the rest. And the flip side of this is equally important. If we don't observe the fundamental rule, none of the rest of the rules will have any order or make any sense. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus tells us, a foolish man who built his house upon sand, the rain fell and the floods came, and that house fell down. And in today's Gospel, Jesus reminds us, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The cornerstone of respecting human life is the absolute right to life of innocent human beings. But that, if you pull that cornerstone out of absolute respect for innocent human life, you pull that cornerstone out like a house built on sand in a flood, the whole house falls apart. If we don't understand that the duty to protect innocent human life, what would ever make us think that we're required to, for example, feed the hungry, even when they cannot truly feed themselves? How do we know that one nation may not attack another without a just cause? All of our high-minded ideals of justice and duty and respect are nonsense if not grounded on the most simple, basic, fundamental principle: you shall not kill intentionally innocent human life. And so we come to abortion, which is arguably the killing of the most innocent, defenseless of human beings. And talk about abortion obviously has public and even political ramifications, especially 1 month before state elections. Some people argue that there are more important issues at stake than abortion. But what can be more important than the systematic promotion of the abuse of the most fundamental moral principle? A million abortions a year, Almost 60 million in 44 years, and millions more to come. Some say that even if abortion is the most important single issue, lots of other smaller issues combine to outweigh it. Some people say they show their respect for life by working, they say, for the end of the death penalty, or by working for health care for the uninsured, or for prosperity for the poor and middle class, and the rights of immigrants. They say that's what it means to respect human life. But then they refuse to respect the right to life. Let's set aside the fact that good people, even good Catholics, can disagree on all these issues and others like them. For example, contrary to some bishops and priests, the way they think, the Church actually does officially teach that sometimes the death penalty is allowed and even necessary. But what sense do these lesser issues make, and how can we understand the right way to approach them if our understanding of them is not founded on the issue? The absolute respect for the right to life of innocent human beings. How can we trust someone to promote and value the lesser subsidiary issues when he rejects the cornerstone issue? It's like building a house by simply putting windows and doors up before you lay the foundation. They'll blow away as soon as the first wind comes, or some dishonest person will come along and walk off with them. For example, how can you trust a politician with making the right decision about health care rights, a decision that embodies a true respect for life, when that politician can't understand that the baby's right to health care exists only when it has a life? That health without life is literally meaningless. It's useless to promote health care if you don't promote life. Some argue that we need to fix our immigration policy. Some say we need to crack down and seal the borders. Others say we need to open the borders and end alleged discrimination. Again, contrary to what some bishops and priests seem to think, good Catholics can disagree on this issue and question each other's judgment. But why would we think that a politician who enthusiastically embraces unquestionably unjust acts on the most defenseless, innocent members of our own society, the unborn, why would we think that they would really, in the long term, protect innocent immigrants in the future? It would be like voting for a member of the Ku Klux Klan because today he says he supports minority rights. Some even argue that the current economic issues require us to ignore abortion in order to fix our fiscal house. And I agree that our fiscal problems are hugely important, but how do you begin to count the cost of millions of aborted innocent babies? How do you weigh on a scale tens of millions of babies against trillions of dollars of debt? Would anyone in this room take $1 trillion to kill your neighbor's child? It sounds a lot like Judas accepting 30 pieces of silver for betraying the one perfectly innocent one. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit life? And in a certain sense, it doesn't matter if it's 1 million babies or only one baby. Anyone whose moral system, whose defense of respecting human life promotes and defends the death of even one innocent human life in order to achieve some perceived lesser good of many others is a fool and a reprobate. The logic is nothing new. It is the logic of the man who condemned Jesus to death, if you recall. Caiaphas, who condemned Jesus, once said, "It is better that one man should die for the people than the whole nation perish." The gospel today tells us that Jesus was speaking to chief priests. One wonders if this parable today wasn't addressed to Caiaphas. And speaking of priests, some of you may be tired of priests preaching about abortion. I agree with you. I'm tired of it too. But remember how Jesus chastised the Jewish priests for their failures, for their rejecting the prophets and rejecting him, for their failure to preach the truth. So as long as human life is so fundamentally disrespected by so many Catholics that they will fail to rise up with all other like-minded pro-life Americans and crush the plague of abortion in this country, God himself will continue to send his servants, his priests, whether they like it or not, and they must do their best to try to collect what is due to him. And what is due to him is respect for the truth and respect for human life. But priests aren't the only servants he sends into the vineyard. Each of you is also his servant. So act like it and go into the world you live in and proclaim the gospel of life. Demand with charity and clarity and never with violence or venom that human life be respected, especially in the most fundamental way, respect for the innocent and defenseless unborn. And make that demand known wherever God sends you, at home, at work, at school, at play, and in the voting booth. Friends, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith and of our life itself. And he taught us to recognize that common sense dictates that we must respect every human being as having a unique dignity and life given to him by God himself. And he's taught us that the cornerstone of that respect for life is the respect for the right to life of the most innocent and defenseless among us. Thou shalt not kill. If we would not reject Christ, the cornerstone, let us not reject this cornerstone of respect for human life. Praise be Jesus Christ.